Be with us, O Lord, and may your words be in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. Amen. A few weeks ago, Paula called me and said, "There's going to be a baptism at Pentecost, so I think I should preach that day. Would you mind swapping with me? And could you preach on the 19th instead?" "Sure," said I, being the easygoing type that I am, and the deal was sealed. Now, I had realized that today is Father's Day, so I thought this would be simple. All I have to do is to take today's readings, link them somehow to the idea of fatherhood, and I would be home and dry. And then I started to realize exactly what I had signed up for. For today is not only Father's Day, but more importantly, it is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday, the day where we stop, we take a pause, a break from the narrative of God in the world, and focus instead on the very nature of God himself. The day when we celebrate the great central mystery of our Christian faith. Well, at first, I set about my task with confidence. I dug in, started reading. Where else to go but that great reference, Wikipedia? Off I went, and about halfway down the entry for Trinity Sunday, I knew I was in big trouble. I read about Theophilus of Antioch, the third century theologian Tertullian, the First Council of Nicaea in 325, from which we get the Nicene Creed, the Ephesine formula of 431 AD, and the Christological statement of the Epistola Dogmatica of Leo I to Flavianus. And that was before I even needed to move my mouse down the screen. So within minutes, my dreams of delivering to you today a crisp, concise, theologically robust discourse on the nature of the Trinity lay in ruins. My first reaction was to try harder, but that didn't work. And my second reaction was to call Paula up and say, "You're the pro. You've done the exams, and you did very well, I hear. You do it." But I persevered, and in a moment of contemplation, a thought came to me. The Trinity is a mystery. Just honor that fact. Don't try and pick it apart. Don't try and explain it in a rational way. Just live with it. Just accept it. Understand it on its own terms. Understand it on God's terms, not our terms. And as I started to do this, I started to realize what a great gift this mystery is. We all love a good mystery. I am very fond of mysteries that take place in old English country houses, involve an odd collection of eccentric characters, and a dead body in the library. I'm sure you all have your favorites, whether they're set in England, in New York, in Miami, or elsewhere. These mystery shows are a staple of our modern culture. Just look at the TV listings. And it's not just that kind of murder mystery. Mystery is a driving part of most of our cultural narratives. Will the boy get the girl? Will the hero save the day? Will they get off the island? What is the island in the first place? And this is why I think we're drawn to the mystery of the Trinity. It's rather like a good mystery story. We get hints and clues from the narrative, and we can combine these with our own knowledge and experience to try and see through the shadows. We get some clues about the Trinitarian nature of God from today's readings. Paul's pretty clear about what we should do, signing off his second letter to the Corinthians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be all with you. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear similarly from Jesus commanding his disciples to go and make more disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These are familiar words. We hear them every week. And if we were honest about it, we would probably agree that we don't give them too much thought. We hear them, we say them, we treat them like we know them and like we know what they mean. But let's try and hear them just today with fresh ears and beginner's eyes and see if we can pick up a clue as we discern those words about the meaning, even if the meaning is something we can't fully comprehend. We can also look to the creed. We all study the creed at some point. I know I did in confirmation class, where the leader kind of picked apart the creed phrase by phrase as if it was some kind of legal document. But it's not a legal document. It's poetry. And let's treat that beautiful set of words and pay attention as they try to give us a clue about the nature of the Trinitarian Lord. We can also look for clues in our own experience with God. Where do we see these clues about the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit? A great place to start looking for the love of God is in creation. As we listen to the opening words of the Bible this morning, this great story unfolds. Again, familiarity can dull our senses a little, and it's great hearing it done in a different way. So let's try and listen to that, reread it with fresh ears and beginner's eyes, and contemplate the magnificence of what's unfolding in these passages. The creation of the heaven and the earth, and the land upon the water, and the night and the day, and my particular favorite, everything that creeps upon it. Think about that for a moment. Our Creator God, our Father, creating not only the heavens above and the earth below, but every little creeping thing that creeps upon the ground. And why? Well, good question. That's part of the mystery. But the clues point to his great love for us all. And God saw that it was good. Or rad. God saw that it was rad, so he went on the next day and the next until he placed Adam and Eve in the garden. Another way to look for the love of God is out here in creation as we see it today. There are many ways to do that. Look into the face of a child or even an adult. Watch a sunset. Listen to the songs of the birds. My particular favorites, sit at the ocean edge and listen to the waves. Or look up at the heavens in the night sky. The heavens do indeed declare the glory of God. So we see God all around us. Where can we look for clues about Jesus? Well, one simple way is just to keep our eyes and ears open and watch for the everyday little pieces of joy that we bring as we interact with each other. as the old management adage goes, let's try and catch people doing something right. It's easy if you try. It's so day to day. But in our interactions with each other, both here and out in the world, we can see the grace of God, the love of Jesus with us. And we should do it wherever we are and whoever we are with, however difficult that may be. It can be difficult to look for the love of God and Jesus in the face of somebody who's scowling at you. I agree. But it can be seen nonetheless. So we have God the Father, God the Son. What about the Holy Spirit? Rationally, the Holy Spirit does seem to be the thing that most people struggle with more than any other parts of the Trinity. I know I do. But let's put understanding aside for a minute and try and experience the Holy Spirit. Take some time to shut off the thinking and listen to our hearts. The Holy Spirit is within all of us. Let us be still and know that we are God. For God, the Holy Spirit, is here in us and in everything. I do believe that contemplation, stillness, meditation are the keys to getting glimpses into the Holy Spirit. If you haven't tried contemplative prayer or taizé, give it a go. You might very well be surprised. And if that doesn't appeal to you, take some time to think over another beautiful and again overly familiar phrase, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Think about that. We'll never understand it, but perhaps we can certainly experience that peace that the Holy Spirit brings within us. So there we are. Hints, clues, glimpses into the mystery of God, the mystery of the Trinity unfolding before us like a good detective story. We get more and more clues as we go by. Now, surely at some point we're going to get to the point where in the mystery story everyone is gathered together in the drawing room. The protagonist coughs gently to get everyone's attention, and all will be revealed. We'll finally get the truth, a full understanding of what has happened. It doesn't happen in the case of the mystery of the Holy Trinity, so to speak. But you know what? That's okay. And I say it's okay for two reasons. The first reason is that some things, flowers, jokes, Bach fugues, are beautiful in themselves. And when you try to pick them apart, they just become their pieces. The Trinity is a wholeness that, if we did pick apart, would lose its joy. It's a little bit like trying to reread a mystery novel. Have you ever tried doing that? It's the most fruitless thing. Or worse still, have somebody try and explain a joke to you. So I have no crisp, concise, theologically robust explanation of the Trinity for you this morning, because I don't think any such thing exists. And if it did exist, you wouldn't want me to tear it apart. And so as we go out today and we celebrate Father's Day and we go about our lives this week, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.